Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it on? Okay. Again, when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can properly apply it. Today is 9/26/2021. I'm in session two of teaching through the book of Ephesians, and I'm Paul Baalbek III. Some people call me Too Tall Paul. Easy to remember my name. So we're going to open up in prayer. And let me tell you the name, the title. Who is this Paul? And what's he got to say? And with that, we'll open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. With the sun out, it's a beautiful fall, brisk morning, and reminds me of when Christ comes and calls us out from this fallen world, calls out his ambassadors, and we enter heaven. And what a beautiful, we're just going to be in awe of Christ and all of his glory, and then just in awe of heaven, and then to think about being reunited with loved ones and people we care about that knew you. So I pray your Holy Spirit just is a real teacher here, as always, Father. I pray that you give us spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom from your word, and may he illumine our minds to grasp it, and may Christ in me express his truth out of me and your love, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, because I know Dave was, how far did he get? About first chapter? Oh, he's chapter two. And I almost thought about just coming in after that. But I'm going to start at the very beginning. We already dealt with our spiritual blessings, you know. So when I get to verse three, even if I get to it today, I don't know if I will. Because sometimes God will give different Bible teachers and pastors different insights. And besides that, repetition helps us to remember things, right? So let's start in verse 1. And again, the name of it is, who is this Paul and what's he got to say? Because you'll hear that, right? Who's Paul? I follow Jesus. Right? Oh, really? Where? According to the flesh? Or as head of the body of Christ. So right away, what do we see? The first word, Paul, capital letter. So what do you always got to do when you're studying God's word? Hey, good to see you. Welcome back. When you're studying God's word, I ain't talking about just reading it. There's a place for that. But study, you're going to get a lot out of it. And you always got to ask what? Who's speaking? Whom is speaking? And who are they speaking or writing to? Right? Who's writing or speaking? And who are... So right away, who's writing? Bam! Paul. That's why I named my message. Who's this Paul? Now, you know, in our church... Yous are grounded in sound grace doctrine, you know, through Dave's ministry, through the pastors, you know, a little bit from me. But yous know who Paul is, right? But we got to be reminded of that, too. And also, I think, to be reminded how much to be thankful for. You know, that's why I did those spirit, you know, why I went last time I taught. On verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, the moment you trusted in Christ, blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. You know, studying and the Word of God should cause thanksgiving. That's God's will, right? That we give thanks in all things. God wants us to be thankful. And when you're thankful, you're joyful. You're a happier person. You ever get around somebody who just complains? And, you know, it's just like, man, let me get away from this person, you know. When you get around somebody who's thankful, they remind you to be thankful. Yeah, like Mary said this morning, wow, what a beautiful day. And it reminds me, look around, I go, wow, it's so bright and sunny. You know, you build on each other, you know. And that's why we assemble together, right? We come to assemble because everybody builds, like I believe in inward spiritual gifts. So not outward, speaking in tongues, sign gifts, but everybody gets together in the Holy Spirit in us. We build each other up. Sometimes you don't even know it. Like when somebody's going through something, all of a sudden you start talking to them and they go, you ever have somebody tell you, thank you for what you said. You don't know what I was going through. The Holy Spirit does. Yeah. So that's why I always say, Father, I don't know what I'm going to teach or preach. I don't know what everybody's going through they need to hear, but your Holy Spirit does. So I just depend on Him. You know, that's the whole Christian life, right? Christ gave His life for us. Where? On the cross. Why? To deal with our sins, right? So He could, through the resurrection, give His life to us. So why? Christ in us now could express and live His resurrection life to us. That's a Christian life. You know, I always tell people in a nutshell, you know. And so all our part is feeding that new man through the Word of God, and then make an application. And the Holy Spirit will empower us to do what we got to do. Like, I'm in still a lot of pain. Keep me in prayer. I'm not healed up from that operation. And I got to do, I won't get into details. I'm not like an old guy who wants to give you the gory details of, you know. I remember an old guy used to come to my Bible study. And we'd ask, anybody got prayer for things? And he started getting these gory details, you know. And I told him one time after the study, I go, you know, Ken, everybody loves you here. So you don't got to kind of make people care about you. Give them details. People don't really want the details. But anyway, there's some the surgeon has me doing that's very painful. Well, what do you do? What does God's word say when something's hard? You appropriate by faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, does that take away the pain? No. Does Christ give me strength to go to it? Yeah. So when we're coming, let's not come and study the Word and just let it be mental gymnastics and, stimulate my mind. It should. But it's to learn to apply this in our life, right? And by the way, if anybody, it's a good time to turn on your cell phone. Show you by example. So, all right. So we see Paul, and we're going to look at a little bit about Paul. Who is he? Well, glad you asked. An apostle of Jesus Christ. And why is he an apostle of Jesus Christ? By the will of God. I'm going to tell you a little short thing in a minute. About somebody who told me, I follow Jesus, right? And I got a verse just about that. And so it's by the will of God. Who's he writing to? The saints at Ephesus, right? So Paul's writing. See, this is what you do when you're studying. Ask these questions. What about when Christ gave... this is why it's so important to rightly divide the word. When Christ told his Jewish disciples, right? Kingdom disciples. I give you power to cast out demons, right? heal the sick. That's in the Bible, isn't it? You better ask who he's speaking to. Because you got people out there, I used to be one, you know, in my early Christian walk. I'm Pentecostal at least 6 years. I didn't know nothing. I was a young baby believer. You start, and I was so wise I chose to go to this church because they had a van that would pick me up. I wouldn't have to take the bus, and that ain't a good reason. But so they would use these verses. It's in here, right? But is that to you today in the dispensation of grace? No. And, you know, the ones who claim it, I never seen it happening. I don't see them raising the dead. Have you ever seen somebody? I heard testimonies, fables, stories. They'll turn from sound doctrine, what's Paul say? Aside the fables, right? So we see, all right, Paul, he's writing to saints. We're saints, right?
Amen.
Every believer is set apart. We're saints. In Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So I'm not going to deal a lot with... Dave went over this real well for you guys. But I do want to mention some things for maybe somebody on the video or the audio hasn't listened to them. I'll tell you, Dave, I'm listening to his stuff still. He's got fruit still being born. That dude, man, could teach. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm from the hood. I throw a little bit of hood preaching, teaching out here. But I got so blessed listening to him. And he went, I think he took at least one Sunday just this verse. So I'm not going to go as much in depth maybe as I would, but I want to kind of highlight some things. So we see one thing, he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? And he is a specific apostle, we'll see, to the body of Christ, isn't he? To the Gentiles. Not, he wasn't one of the 12, was he?
That's right.
He wasn't even a candidate. You know, they what did when they chose Matthias, you know, they shot craps, not really shooting craps, but rolled lots, you know, which was common, and especially the Old Testament. And anyway, they said that they had to choose somebody that was with them since John the Baptist, the preaching, what? Repent to be baptized, kingdom of heaven's at hand. He's pointing them to the Messiah, right? So, all the way through Christ's ministry, Paul wasn't a candidate, was he? No, he. I don't even know if he ever saw Christ. He heard about him. And he didn't like it. Actually, he hated. He thought he was fake. And these guys, he thought, you know, later we'll see, Paul said he was a blasphemer, you know, injurious. He was getting people dragged. He had letters, right? To drag them from wherever they were at. Like he was on his way to Damascus to get some, right? Yeah. Men, women, they would beat him, maybe kill him. And Christ saved his worst enemy. That's Paul's our pattern. Yeah. So he didn't fulfill the role and the requirements of a kingdom apostle. Because you'll read in commentaries, right? Your denominational commentaries or theologians, right? Oh, they were just prejudiced. That's why they chose Matthias. It actually, Paul was supposed to be that apostle. No. There's 12 apostles for 12 tribes of Israel. That's it. And what did Christ tell them? They'll sit in the kingdom ruling under him on 12 thrones. Well, then why Paul? Who's this Paul, right? And what's he got to say? He had a whole lot of new stuff to say that was hid in time past, right? So we see Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's an apostle, but we got to realize something. He's a unique apostle. He's not one of the 12. Well, why did Christ need another apostle? See, all these questions, when you're studying, should come into your mind, right? You want to think when you study. And I always pray, Father, before I study, I pray, illumine my mind, turn the light on, because I want to know what it means. I don't just want to know what it says, and I can quote verses, but I don't know what they mean. And it takes the Holy Spirit to do that. And praise God, you got the Holy Spirit, right? He's the best counselor. You know, people go to counselors, right? Got the best counselor in you. And the best teacher. He's the best Bible teacher. You know why? He inspired the Bible, didn't he? The Holy Spirit. So, Paul also, it's by God's will that Paul's an apostle. And then, again, to the saints, which are Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. I love how Dave dealt with that in his message. When you look at faithful, the idea is full of faith. Let me ask you something. Where does faith come from?
faith of Christ from Christ.
No, where does faith come from?
Hearing.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? See, I like to get your the minds working. Is that coffee, Tracy? Sorry.
Dang, I asked you a question.
No, that's why she. She got caught. Wait, don't nobody say none. She's thinking. She had her coffee. I like people to think, like, when I'm teaching. I'm not just up here, you know, I like to have fun when I'm teaching, but I'm not here for entertainment, you know. Bill thinks I am, about being short, you know, but I really want you to think, because I want you to learn. You know why? I want you to grow. Grow in God's grace. So these people, these saints, they were full of faith. Faithful. Think of it. So they really appreciated the word of God. Why do you think Paul, remember in Corinthians? Go back to, I think it's 1 Corinthians. Yeah. In chapter 2, I'll start in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. I love Paul. I can relate to him. When they said his speech was rude or what's that word? Contemptuous or something. Well, that's like me. I only went to 8th grade. I got my GED, but, you know, so my vocabulary ain't all that. You know, and plus I add some slang to it, you know, you know, from the hood. So I can relate to Paul. But Paul was very educated. Did you know that? Paul was a logician. Look all through his epistles. He uses logic, reasoning. He does it with us. You know, as we study his epistles, he wants us to think. The Holy Spirit through Paul. And so he said, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech. So he didn't come with his big education to impress them. Or of wisdom, the idea of the wisdom of the world, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But look what he says. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. All he could do is teach them about the cross. He couldn't take them farther. He said, you're like carnal babes. You still think like the world. You think like an unsaved person. Now go back to Ephesians. These people were, because he says, but among the mature, right? He could teach them the mystery. Well, if you ask me, the modern day church is most like the Corinthians church today. All they can do, thank God the ones who get the gospel right, right? Because there's a lot that don't even got that right. You know what they tell you? They pay a lot for rugs because they have you come up to the altar, you know, and testify that you're going to turn from all your sins, commit your life to God, repent of all your sins. Who's ever did that? You know, the only one who never sinned was Christ. He didn't have a sin nature, right? What's the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. He took our place. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, right? And that he died, according to the scriptures, he was buried and he rose, right? And you're saved by what? Turning from all your sins, repenting, getting baptized, paying the tithes. No, what's it say? You're saved by grace. Unmerited, unearned favor. God gifts. Why do you think salvation is called a gift? You're saved by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. Paul says it in two verses, I think five or six different ways. It's a gift to God. You don't earn a gift, right? It's paid by for somebody else. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. Not of yourself. Grace, unmerited. You getting that? Because the flesh wants something to do. They want their fingerprints on salvation. God won't allow it. Nobody takes God's glory. They might try. You know, I've seen pastors on TV strutting around the stage like, you know, I'm thinking of one. You flip through cable and you get them cheap cable stations. And this dude's on a throne with a gold crown and he's got this big gold cane. And I'm like, boy, you're really trying to impress people, ain't you? You know, it ain't about us. It's about him.
Amen.
It's about Christ. Yeah. And him crucified. But he was also risen, right? And the mystery that we'll learn more about in Ephesians is all about what Christ accomplished completely, how to walk in this truth. It's so, there's so many spiritual blessings and spiritual treasures that we dig out when you get to the book of Ephesians, right? So, with these believers now, Paul could take them to deeper things, right? Heavenly things, right? In Ephesians, where are you seated? Where are you seated? See my contemptible speech? You're seated in heaven, man. Yeah. It's like, now the first, probably Paul's first epistle is either Galatians or 1 Thessalonians. Them were early epistles, you know. And Corinthians was an earlier Acts epistle. By the time you get to Colossians and Ephesians, Philippians, it's like Romans, everything's built on, right? That's the mechanics of the Christian life. Justification, you learn in that, right? Kirkwood used to call it the handbook of salvation. So it's where, like Romans chapter 6, you got a building, right? This big skyscraper of edifice and sound doctrine, right? Romans, you got the basement with the gears, you know, and you're pumping up the heater, the air conditioning. Everything's working. That's Romans. And everything's built on Christ. Go back to Romans 16:25. Because this morning, I'm going to tell you something. Most churches are not going to be preaching Christ the way Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul tells us. Romans 16:25. You all know this, but let's rejoice in it again. Now to him that is of power, that means able, to establish you. The idea is build you up, give you a balanced, settled, solid, immovable spiritual condition and walk. Well, how are you getting that? According to my gospel. Whose gospel? Paul's gospel. Why does he say my gospel? See what I mean? Think through. Why didn't he say, according to the gospel, me and the 12 are preaching? Now, there was something they have in common, right? The kingdom gospel and the mystery gospel. It's all built on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Like where Paul said, whether they preached or I. Well, that was the same thing in common. But in the kingdom program, Christ is being preached as resurrected and come back as their king, bringing the long way to kingdom. For us, how do we preach Christ? And the preaching of Jesus Christ, how are you supposed to preach him? According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So Paul's gospel was a different gospel, right? Do people get saved today by repenting and being baptized for the remission of their sins and they'll receive the Holy Spirit? It's in the Bible, isn't it? Are we supposed to rightly divide the Bible?
Yep.
Wow, you guys are edified. You've been edified and sitting under some good teaching. A lot of people, you know how they're preaching Christ today? According to the flesh. What does Paul tell us? We don't know Christ according to the flesh. What's that mean? See what I mean? Think. What's it mean, Christ according to the flesh? In his fleshly, we're not, you know, his body. We're not talking about sinful body. His flesh. He was incarnated, right? We don't know him. We know about him. We read, and you should study Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? But we don't follow him in that ministry. We learn things about his love. How he sat down with sinners. He was scandalous. Do you know that? Remember what they said? He eats with sinners. And you know, the self-righteous Pharisees, you got them still today. They roll their lip back. So they love saying it. Sinner. He eats with sinners. Scandalous. We need to be scandalous. Not that scandalous, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't just be pew warmers.
Amen.
Get out there. Start a Bible study in your home. But you got to know how to do this. Do outreach some way. Be scandalous. Because most, I think, you know, it's said that, I was talking to Mary this morning, about 8 to 10% of people in the church do all the work. You know, so people come and they like to hear, hey, I'm completely forgiven. I ain't got to pay tithes. You know, let me see if I got any change. You know, just because you ain't got to pay tithes don't mean you got to be cheap, right? You give within your means. See, we go to Paul, right, and we find out. And you give, you're hearing all my conversation with my wife. You know what, with the cheerful heart, has the idea, hilarity. You're enjoying giving so much, it's hilarious. Yeah, that's the way to give, man. You know, now don't get crazy and give out of your means, right? If you got bills, pay them bills. If your kids need something, some people actually, maybe a single mom raising the kids on her own, she might not have none to give. Or maybe she could afford to put in a dollar, right? But maybe the church needs to help her. We need to be there for each other, right?
Amen.
That's love and ministry. So we need to be like Christ, and we learn Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? His love for the lost. Even the Pharisees, you know, when he said, woe to you Pharisees, he didn't mean like, he wasn't looking down on them. You know what? It was his heart. Whoa, I want you saved. Then sometime, Christ had a heart for the lost. Whether it was those who attacked him, right, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. But I like too. And Paul was a lot like Christ in this aspect. Christ would get in their face sometimes. You whitewashed tombs. Oh, what would Jesus do? Jesus wouldn't do that. Oh, throw some tables around? I think we were talking about that last week. Now, we don't go to Catholic Church and go knocking over the bingo stuff. You know? Why Christ was mad, they were ripping off people. They were ripping off Gentiles. They were ripping off people that came, you know, to sacrifice. And, you know, they're far away. And so the scales, you know, they weren't balanced. That's what he was upset about. What did he say? You make my father's house a den of thieves. You know, it should have been a place people could come to learn about God. Just like here. You know. So we know about Christ and we should learn some things. See, there's difference between being dispensational and principles. There's principles all through the Word of God. You know, those who wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings like the eagle. Well, shouldn't we be patient? Today, yeah. You know. What's that verse? He whose mind is stayed on thee, you'll give him peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, don't that sound like be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your mind and heart. Right? There's principles. See, I always tell people in all my teaching ministries or preaching, I want to give you tools, keys, like right division, one of the biggest keys, right, to understand. It just helps the scriptures open up, because you see, there is no contradictions, right? When James says, it's faith without works is dead, and Paul says if it's grace, it ain't works. If it's works, it ain't grace. How do you... That's opposites, right? I mean, I could give a bunch of illustrations, but that's good enough. That's where you get lordship salvation. If you ain't got works in your life, you know, because faith is dead without works. So that it doesn't contradict. James is writing to who? James, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. Paul writes to who? The body of Christ. So we learn from Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but don't try and follow his instructions to them. Right. Are you going to be keeping law? Right. You're going to start doing animal sacrifices, and then the AS, whatever that is, going to come after you for animal cruelty. You know, ASPC or whatever. You're gonna be getting water baptized. You're gonna be water baptizing. You know, that's part of their program, right? They were gonna be a kingdom of priests. And the first initiation rite of the priesthood was what? Baptism. Yeah, it was ceremonial cleansing. And they will be a kingdom of priests. After the rapture, 7-year tribulation, Christ comes back, brings in their kingdom. The 12 will rule over the nation Israel, and then there'll be a whole kingdom of priests. Kings and priests under Christ, ruling under Christ over the earth. Where are we going to be?
We're up there.
Ruling over angels, baby. I like that idea. Just, it's got to be cool to talk to an angel that's kind of, they learn from us, right? Paul says, they learn about grace, the mystery too. And but they've seen a lot through the centuries, right? So I got some questions to them. And you know, the main one I want to meet is Paul. I was thinking yesterday, today, I wonder after Christ, because that's, we're going to be in awe, seeing his glory. He ain't going to be the suffering servant. He's going to be sitting on the throne. And I can only imagine, right? What it'll be like. And so, but after that, because there's got to be others, you know, Christ, I believe, will greet. I want to go meet Paul. Ask him and thank him. You know, for what? Never quitting. He got beat 5 times, right, with stripes, like what they did to Christ back. 3 times with rods. You know, you think if you had a good dad, and he took, my dad had a garrison belt. You think that hurt? He was stoned, and I ain't talking about stone. They left him for dead. He was in jail. He had a contract on him. He had Jews looking for him. He had Gentiles after him. He never quit. Paul is our pattern. We'll see in a minute. For salvation and also for the Christian life. For a spirit-filled life. Paul loved people. What did he say? If he could, he would have gave up his own salvation for if his people, you know. Them people, they don't like Paul, you know. Do we got that attitude? People don't like us? You know what? We still got a lot to learn. You know what that's called? Growth. Spiritual growth. Growing. And so we see, now to him that is a power to establish you. So what establishes our lives? According to my gospel, Paul's gospel, unique gospel that Christ gave him from heaven, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began. So, How's Christ supposed to be preached today, according to the revelation of mystery? How many churches you think are, and I don't mean to sound like our church is the only one, the cult. No, there's other churches that understand this, Grace churches. You know, you say Grace Church and people go, what denomination is that? Right? Like I ask, I like somebody used to say, my church is the biggest church. It's got millions of people. It's called the Body of Christ. Because people want to know, they think you got to be under this tradition, right? Denominationalism. And really, you want to get out from denominationalism. We're one body, you know. We're not supposed to be dividing in divisions. And so when you see teaching that divides, now, truth will always divide, truth from error, right? But I'm talking about as members of the body of Christ. If you see a teaching that starts splitting churches, splitting families, splitting friendships, you know it ain't coming from God. Because we got the seven unities of the Spirit, right? Spirit's going to bring unity, but it'll be based on truth. Not holding hands and singing Kumbaya, my Lord. You know, I see that. Let's not discuss doctrine. Doctrine divides. Oh, yeah. Divides truth from error. All right? We need to have our unity based on truth, right? Grace truth. So let's go back to Ephesians. Actually, stop off at Galatians, the book before. Make a left. Galatians 1. Paul, wow. See that name again? Paul. Who's Paul? And what's he got to say? Man, a whole lot. That whole lot of people need to learn about. And what I was saying, there ain't that many churches this morning that are preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And we're not the only one. But praise God, we're one. Praise God you're in a church, you're not getting whipped this morning. Yeah, like pastor said he went to, I think it was Bob Jones University. And he says, they used to teach him, win them, wet them, and whip them. Whip them in the shape. What does God do? He transforms us. He renews our mind through the Word. That's how we're changing and we're growing. Now let me ask something. If you're not into the Word on your own study and you just come Sundays, how much transforming and renewing is getting done in you? I'll just throw that out there. Amen. But the truth is in the Word, right? So if we're not studying with the Word, how's the Holy Spirit?
He knows it.
Amen. Okay, so Paul, an apostle, not a man. He wasn't sent by Peter and the other 11, was he? He wasn't sent by some denomination that ordained him. Yeah, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Christ saved him in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus on his way to murder kingdom believers. So you see the grace there. What should Christ have did? Threw a lightning bolt through his head, right? And what did Christ do? Saved him. Not only saved him, made him an apostle. And start and gives him a new ministry to the Gentiles. And Paul, it affected Paul. You know, I'm sure Paul thought about things he did earlier. And I think, see, you don't want to let the past bring you down. Live in the past. But sometimes it can drive you, because if you remember, I know where I came from, what I was doing when I got saved. And even under legalism, because I keep falling on my face. recommitting to the commitment I broke last week and just depressed. But when I understood grace, and Paul didn't let it, what did he say? I forget. So he don't keep dwelling on it, but I know it came to his mind sometimes. And Paul actually tells us, remember what you were, right? You were unsaved. Satan was leading you by the nose. He had a course for this world, and God saved you through the gospel. And what did it do? It drove Paul. Man, think what it took in them days to get the gospel out. Now we got the internet, and I use that. I think Paul would do. But them days, man, what, horseback, walking, danger of animals, you know, bandits, kept driving Paul. And I want to be like Paul in this way too, as a thing of my pattern. He says, he finished his race. Right? He never watered down the gospel. He never, to make it acceptable to all other churches in the area. And no, he finished his race with joy. And that's what I want. You know, when I first got saved, my aunt that had divorced from my uncle, and we were like family and friends. I knew them before they even knew each other. I knew her. But anyway, her and her new guy, when I got all excited, you know, I got saved, I didn't know anything, but I want everybody to know about Jesus. But, you know, and she's like, they're like, that's just a passing thing. And I said, no, it ain't. I'm 65 and it ain't passed. And I don't want it to. How about you? You keep going to the end. You don't water things down so people like you a little bit better. Let's love them a little more, right? And that takes prayer for that, right? Because it's normal. It's actually our flesh cares about what people think. Because we want everybody to think we're wonderful people. You know, I'm wonderful. Look me over, but don't overlook me, right? She thinks I'm wonderful. But then she's biased. I'm blessed to have her, actually, that puts up with me. You know what I mean, Lord? You know what I mean, Lord? But Bill. Anyway, so we see Paul, an apostle, not a man, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Again, Paul, an apostle. Go to Romans 2:16, please. This one should make people wake up. I'll give you a chance to get there. Romans 2:16. In the day, this is Paul, the guy we're talking about. Who's that Paul? That apostle Paul, by the will of God, sent by Christ, right? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Remember Paul says, what establishes you? My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation and mystery. And that was kept secret, right? Since the world began. Paul says, we'll see in Ephesians 3, that it was unsearchable. You can't find it in Genesis all the way through all the books to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Christ didn't reveal it at one time yet. Early Acts, you can't find it. But when you go to Romans, to Philemon, it's all through there and all that body of truth and doctrine for us today in the body of Christ, right? That we can grow and we can rejoice in and we can have peace in. And we know that gospel Paul preached, so we can love and reach out with that gospel. So to me, when you look at this verse, right, then jump down to verse 20. And you know, he's straining, verbally straining out these religious Jews. back here, just for kind of context. And he talks about them. Are they an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of truth in the law? So the law had a form, right? Knowledge and truth. And Moses gave that to the nation Israel, right? Christ gave Paul, actually, I ain't got a lot of time now, so we're not going to go there. He talks about to keep that form of doctrine. When, see, Israel had theirs. The whole body of truth to the body of Christ called the mystery. Be faithful and teach faithful men to teach other faithful men. And can I add, ladies, you be faithful and teach other faithful women to teach other faithful women. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, sometime there's always a balance. You know, people, and Paul gives us our instructions, right? He doesn't allow women to be pastors or elders, right? An authority over men, right? So then, here's what I'm talking about, extremes. So you got the legalist. You just shut your mouth in church and you be quiet back there, you know. And there's reasons why Paul says things, right? But women are supposed to teach too. They just ain't authority over men. You teach your kids, right? You should teach your friends. What about your nieces, your nephews? You know? Every Christmas, our family gets together, and it's like a tradition, and I give the message, a little message, and then we get Thanksgiving. We all tell what we're thankful for. Go to John 13:20. I told you I was going to tell you real quick. On Facebook, this legalistic church I used to go to, and my buddy told me, I didn't know, I'm not going to mention her name. He said she was the biggest legalist in the church. And I'm teaching on Facebook, sharing about Paul's unique gospel. And I had another Pentecostal friend that, when I was Pentecostal, we stayed friends for years. And both of them says, I don't follow Paul, I follow Jesus. Well, let's read John 13:20. What have we found out and we know about Christ sent Paul, right? John 13:20. You know, this Bible got real skinny pages. So I'm wondering, where's... Verily, verily, I say unto you, that it, listen carefully to this, he that receiveth whoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. If Christ sent Paul, and Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, then we follow Paul, we're following Christ.
Amen.
Now go, I'm going to end with this, go to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1. I believe around... go to verse 1 first. We see this again. Paul, bring an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now go down to verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, this is Paul, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, remember we were just talking about that, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly with faith, and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. This is a faithful saying. The Holy Spirit inspired these words. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Paul wasn't the worst sinner, by the way. Paul was very religious. He didn't do a lot of, he never, you know, he went out there committing adultery and all that. What's it mean to be chief? To be in the lead. Paul's Christ's worst enemy. He's in the lead of a Christ-rejecting world. And what happens? Howbeit, for this cause, so he's giving us a reason. I obtain mercy that in me first. See, chief. So something happened in Paul, or to Paul, that was him first, right? Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. God's being long-suffering, and we live in the age of grace, right? He's holding back his wrath. Listen to this. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Paul's our pattern for salvation. Right? He's the first person in the body of Christ. He said he's the pattern. The pattern is the original design. When Christ saved Paul, he began the body of Christ. Because you ask somebody, you know who the first person in the body of Christ was? A lot of times they'll say Jesus. No, I said in the body of Christ. Not the head. Christ is the head. Amen. Paul was bam. And then after him, when they believe Paul's gospel, people are added, right? And the church, the body of Christ grows and grows and grows. And I want to keep going here because I want to, you see one thing and we'll end. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, be glory and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Just see, Paul warred a good warfare, right? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwrecked. They turn away from Paul's apostleship and his the gospel and mystery. What did they turn to? The kingdom gospel. So now you get little Peter, little Paul, little law, little grace, mix it together, and then gobbledygook gospel. I'm going to stop there. Paul's our pattern for salvation and Christian living. Get to know Paul. You know? Now, we don't worship Paul, right? But we do follow him because Christ gives him our instructions. And he teaches us about who Christ is to us. He's our life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for opening up our understanding, and thank you that you got somebody to us, or your Spirit just showed us in the Word of Paul's unique apostleship and gospel. And we look at his life, Father. He never quit. He persevered and endured. And he had that life of Christ in him. And he had to learn. He said, I've learned to be content. I'm convinced of. And so, Father, I pray through these messages that we teach through the book of Ephesians and then also for the pastor, what he's teaching through. I pray that your Spirit teaches us who we are in Christ, how to walk in your Spirit in the dispensation of grace. And then your Spirit produces love in us, so we reach out to the lost, and then to the saved, we share with them the mystery of the gospel that was hid, but now unfolded. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you all for coming out. Pretty much staying awake. It's early, you know? Right, Bill?